Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. How you doing, Steve?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, we're in our studios here in Tupelo, Mississippi for American Family Radio, and I'm peering out the glass into the other room from our studio. And our staff is, we have healthy you.
We try to encourage healthy
nutrition.
So we were just kidding when we were making fun of exercise earlier.
Yes, we were just joking around.
Why isn't it healthy me, by the way? Why I always just always it's somebody else is going to be healthy?
Well, that would take some splaining. But I would just say it's the day of reckoning has come.
They're all standing on a scale.
Well, they're trying to see if they didn't gain any weight during the Christmas eating season.
Well, I'm not going to get on that scale. So they're
getting on scale. So you're not even getting on.
This is the back end. They were measured. They were weighed before the holidays, before Thanksgiving.
Like cattle,
and then like cattle.
And now they're finding out see if they've been fattened up.
That's right. Or if they maintain their weight.
And just maintaining their weight is something to celebrate, according to our human resources department.
Although I did not participate in the weigh-in, I actually lost weight over the holidays.
Yeah,
did you really?
Yes,
I did.
So you say we can't prove it now because we have no reference point.
I would say it doesn't matter what anyone thinks.
It's true.
Thought, but then again, then why did I say it?
I'll tell you something, though. My pastor.
Scooter Nolan. Yes.
Fine man.
I love Scooter.
Hope Church, Tupelo. He gave me some peanut brittle that I guess he made. Did you get any of this?
I didn't get any peanut brittle.
Well, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah, well, talk to the pastor.
Maybe only a select few.
Yeah.
I didn't get any peanut brittle. Well, he's my pastor.
Okay, then maybe he's playing favorites. I don't know. But the point is, he gave me this, and I went home, and I started. I've had peanut brittle. I like peanut brittle.
I don't like it.
I only eat it a couple times a year, but that stuff was like crack cocaine.
If you had ever tried crack cocaine, you would make that connection.
From what people tell me,
yes, right.
Yeah, I've never been a crack addict.
Yes.
From what people tell me, once you start, you can't stop. Right. So I started eating this peanut brittle, and I couldn't.
You couldn't stop.
I couldn't help myself. No.
Yeah. Is this confession time? Because I have a confession.
Oh.
Well, let me just say this.
Okay.
And then you can confess
I have to go.
So I ask.
Wash my car for having confession time or something.
I ask. When I was out of the peanut brittle, I asked, text Pastor Scooter and asked him if he could meet me behind Walmart at 10 o'clock and, deliver some more goods to me there. Walker, what is your confession?
Yeah, well, we've been getting a lot of Christmas goodies around the office this time of year, and oftentimes when someone can't eat it all, they just set it in the kitchen.
Yes.
And you just walk by and grab you a cookie or whatever.
It's out there for any who would.
Yeah. Well, yesterday there was these great cookies in the kitchen. And I was very hungry yesterday afternoon. I just grabbed the whole thing and took it to my office.
Wow.
that is a worthy confession.
There were only like 10 cookies left, but I just grabbed it.
I wonder what happened in that 60 seconds that I walked down the hall, came back. You took all 10?
I just took the whole container.
Now that's the same room where they tell us that there are cameras on the snack bar
where you pay money.
Well, so it's one of those things. There's no getting those cookies back. They're gone.
Somebody brought cookies for everyone,
right?
And you kept them for yourself.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
You think God's going to bless you when you go hunting? Is that what you think?
Wow.
Yeah. You're going to bring a deer.
So you confess if you confess your sins one to another. And then you confess them to God. I think there is.
So we're faithful and just.
I'm just being honest.
Unless some of us want to condemn him for a while. Man, I was looking for those cookies.
Well,
I guess I was looking in the wrong place. No, I avoided looking at them because I was afraid what would happen. Somebody brought two pumpkin pies in.
I know, came in on Monday. I know. Put them in our face.
It's healthy you, and then they can drop two pies off.
Now, what kind of cookies were these?
I don't remember. They were small. They're the ones you buy at the
small and tasty
at the grocery store.
I tell you what, this is the last confession I think we need to make here. Right. But this isn't it. I don't think there's anything wrong with what I did when I was when I was a young man, a young boy, 8, 9, 10 years old. I looked forward to the Girl Scout cookies coming out every year.
Mm. Who didn't? Wow.
And I could eat a whole sleeve or two of the butter.
Oh, those cookies. Oh yes.
Those Girl Good Scout grief. Butter cookies from yesteryear?
Yes.
Am I right?
Oh yeah.
Thin mints for me.
Huh? But could you eat a sleeve and a half or two sleeves of them?
At one high sitting? School? Heck yeah. In high school.
Those butter cookies, they're hard to lay off.
They were divine. They would hit your tongue. Mm-hmm.
They're hard to lay off.
Your tongue
those
would
things.
Say thank you.
Because the thing is, you grab three or four of them at a time.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you go, okay, just one more
right.
group.
Right. Yeah. I just remember those butter, that's what they were called, right?
Butter, I think butter cookies.
Those last 10 cookies in the sleeve look lonely. I think I'll eat them.
Yes, then you're going, well, why not? I've gone this far.
Right.
Right. All right, Steve Jordahl, bring us down.
Boy, we have, no, actually, this is some interesting news. Breaking news, our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, is in Cairo, and he is giving some comments at the same place where President Obama delivered a foreign policy speech in 2009, where he basically apologized for America and what it had done to the world, President Obama did. And this is part of Mike Pompeo's reply. This is Cut 11.
The age of self-inflicted American shame is over, and so are the policies that produce so much needless suffering. Now comes the real new beginning. In just 24 months, actually, less than 2 years, the United States under President Trump has reasserted its traditional role as a force for good in this region. We've learned from our mistakes. We've rediscovered our voice. We've rebuilt our relationships. We've rejected false overtures from our enemies. And look at what we've accomplished. Look at what we've accomplished together under new leadership. America has confronted the ugly reality of radical Islamism. On President Trump's very first trip abroad to this region, he called on Muslim-majority nations to, quote, meet history's greatest test to conquer extremism and vanquish the forces of terrorism.
Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, laying down the lumber in Cairo. Hmm. Strong statement rebuking the Obama foreign policy.
And I'm sure intentionally so. That was the place of President Obama's first overseas speech, wasn't
right.
it? Where
yes.
he criticized the United States, apologized.
This was the same spot. Yes.
So this was done intentionally, I would assume.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He even said later on. He said, "It was here in this city another American stood before you and told you radical Islamist terror does not stem from ideology." And then he went in and deconstructed the whole Obama foreign policy, and said that we're having a new beginning. So strong, strong statements on behalf of our president and our nation to those gathered in Cairo, Egypt right now.
I really like Mike Pompeo. Mm-hmm. He is a strong Christian and a patriot. Good, mm-hmm. good speech.
Yes.
Amen.
I have no further comment and no confession to
That's
make
okay.
at this
it's
time.
A,
Next story.
Okay. All right. I wanted to play you something from. Well, let me go here next. The National Religious Broadcasters is asking the Congress to re-examine a clause of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Now, this sounds in the weeds, but basically, what this section does is it laid the foundation for an open internet with social media companies like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these companies. And what it says is that they cannot be held, Facebook and all, cannot be held liable for what someone else says on their platform. They're not publishers. They're just a conduit through which other people speak. Now that Facebook and the social medias have begun censoring conservative and Christian thought, the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters, Jerry Johnson, is saying, you know what? They are publishers because they're editing things, and we need to take away their protection, their legal protection that they have under this what's called the Good Samaritan Act, and they can be liable for what's said on their platform if they're editing it. And this is in response to the massive numbers of complaints that they're getting about conservative and Christian censoring of speech.
Well, I would say I'm just going to ask some questions
sure.
here because I don't know enough about this to right off the top of my head. I'm generally opposed to any movement in the direction of possibly restricting free speech, which it sounds like if you're going to allow, you know, Facebook to be sued for what somebody posts, I'm not sure I like that off the top of my head. But I haven't thought this completely through and haven't read stuff on both sides. So
I didn't bring this up in the meeting this morning. I forgot to bring it in. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I asked him.
So this is basically what the NRB is saying is that maybe Facebook, because they are
already
now
censoring.
Starting to censor,
yes.
that they should be liable for what now? For like if someone says, hey, let's all get together and go bomb the White House or kill someone, something like that, that would be perhaps some sort of illegality? Or how would Facebook be liable for something that someone said?
Well, let me read you first the specific sentence in this Communication Decency Act. It says, no provider or user of an interactive computer device shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. So any voluntary action taken in good faith to restrict access or availability of material to that provider considered to be obscene, lewd, lascivious, filthy, etc.
So this is like child – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's intended to allow – to not because people say crazy things. And if someone said, I want to kill the president and somehow with 3 billion users or 2 billion users, mm-hmm. if it went through on Facebook, they're not going to be able to hold Facebook accountable. Now, for the most part, Facebook – we agree, should be taking things that say we want to kill the president or whatever, actual malice down. And if something gets through that they can't quite capture, I don't think anybody wants to sue them. But what we do want is since they are already editing, we want to be able to hold them responsible, the NRB does, when you post a Bible verse that says marriage is between a man and a woman or some support of that, and Facebook deplatforms you,
discriminates on the basis of religion.
Yes,
they should be able to be
because
held
now
accountable.
That's they're not held accountable to the First Amendment because that restricts government censorship.
Right.
But they would be held, could be held liable under the Civil Rights Act, for example, where you are not allowed to discriminate on the basis of religion.
It's under the Communications
okay.
Decency Act.
Yeah, this boils down to whether Facebook is a publisher. Are a platform.
Exactly.
There's two differences here. If you are a platform, you are not liable for what goes on your platform, such as Craigslist. There is illegal activity galore on Craigslist. Craigslist, the company, is not responsible because they do not have massive monitoring centers like Facebook. Facebook has shifted from a platform to a publisher. They completely and proudly edit content on their website. And matter of fact, they have thousands of employees that their sole job is to edit content on their website, such as CNN edits its stories, Fox News edits its stories, Facebook edits content on its website. So Facebook needs to pick whether they want to be a publisher or a platform. If they want to be a publisher, fine, but they're getting the luxuries of being a platform in the sense that they're not liable for content.
So it would not be illegal, like CNN, for example, it would not be illegal if Facebook came out and said, hey, we prefer liberal, secular, progressive stuff, so we don't want any religious stuff on our platform,
yes.
and we're going to publish it, and that's who we are. Mm-hmm. That is legal. But CNN, for example, CNN can do that. They can
yes.
say, we only publish or put out liberal material.
Exactly.
But they can't have an advertising policy that says if you want to advertise on CNN, you can't do it if you're religious. Okay, that's illegal. That's discrimination. So I'm just trying to understand how this would work. So for example, Facebook, we just keep using Facebook if someone on their Facebook page put child pornography up there or posted classified documents on there, this would mean Facebook could be liable for legally.
Just like
for those
a publisher.
Just like a publisher.
Yes.
Would.
That, I think, is an unintended but probably legitimate consequence of this. I don't think this is what it's aimed at. No one is accusing Facebook at all of publishing child pornography on purpose or letting it go when it finds it. That's not the accusation here. Although things have slipped through. I think what they, and specifically what Jerry Johnson has been concerned about, and I talked to him last night about this, he notes that people like Franklin Graham have been banned from Facebook for a certain amount of time because of publishing biblical belief. Now, Franklin Graham, yes, he's a firebrand in the fact that he's not apologetic for what he believes, but he is not one. Look at his Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child and all the good things he does. His nature is not abusive, and it's not that he wants to hate on anybody, but he does not apologize for the gospel. That is getting deplatformed. That is getting taken off, and he's getting banned.
And I would say my first reaction at what the NRB is suggesting is I don't think you want to go down that road of telling Facebook they have to put Franklin Graham's stuff up there. I'm just saying, because they have the freedom. They have the freedom to do whatever they want, even as a publisher.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But they need to be classified in the legal and the courts as a publisher and not a platform.
Right.
Not a public
that's
platform.
If there is a legal distinction there, obviously
and
they
if,
should take it.
And if they should,
and they need to take the lumps that come right. with it.
Yes.
Because then Christians are going to say, fine, then I'm getting
off. If Facebook publicly and in the courts transitions to a publisher, to being classified as a publisher, they will be responsible for every post on that website.
Right, they would be. Let me just read you, and we can move on if you want, but let me just read you this paragraph here. Rather than some other possible heavy-handed government intervention that has been suggested, for example, any type of fairness doctrine, and we can talk about what that was, for internet, which would be unconscionable, I suggest, Jerry Johnson speaking, that it is time for Congress to explore further what may be the cost and benefits of removing or conditionally suspending Section 230's extra layer of government-granted content moderation protection for platforms suspected of acting in bad faith.
Yeah, no, that's to me, I guess that's a little different than saying, Facebook, you have to have everybody on, even if you disagree with their beliefs. It seems like that's
when we have
different.
Dr. Johnson on, he's a friend of mine at the National Religious Broadcasters to explore this more. But I'm kind of like you, Adam. I lean toward, is Facebook liberal in their views as a company? Yes, but that's no surprise. But they're also a private company. And, you know, they can choose to be liberal if they want to. And it's none of my business. None of my concern. If I want to compete with, what's his name?
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg, then I'll go out and start my own.
Right.
And some people are.
Yeah.
But some people are. But
yes.
Hold on just 1 second. I'm your father. And and I'm talking
Luke,
here.
I am your father.
Luke, I'm your father. You say that to your son.
Exactly.
Because his name is Luke.
Luke. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is they're a private enterprise. Do they have what amounts to a monopoly? If you want to use it, if you want to be on there, nobody's forcing you to be on Facebook. Facebook has been caught with their liberal progressive censorship. And by censorship, I don't mean that in the sense that the government is doing it. I mean their own corporate standards. I put that in quotations because it seems to change. They apologize to Franklin Graham.
Yes.
They apologized to Diamond and Silk. Is that who it was? These other examples. So I think that's the best we can do at this point is call them out when we can, when they do these egregious things for no good reason, as we see it, and make them apologize. They do have to answer to their shareholders. So that's a good thing, you know. And I don't think Facebook wants to intentionally have people drop them as
as a platform,
run off millions of customers,
right?
So they have been somewhat responsive to their image at least and to their stockholders. So, but forcing Facebook to do something I'm more libertarian, if you want to, on that. Now, you're talking about child pornography and things that are already illegal?
Right.
Absolutely. You go after. Marker, go ahead.
Yeah, this is, I agree, more government regulations is not going to fix this problem. But a private lawsuit with Facebook, I think, might fix this problem. And that is, for example, if CNN publishes an article encouraging criminal activity, they're going to be sued, and on the lawsuit papers, it's going to say CNN versus, or so-and-so versus CNN. CNN will be the defendant. Well, in this case, Facebook can say, oh, no, we're a platform. We're a platform. Just because somebody planned a crime on our platform, we're a platform. We can't control everyone's content. On the other hand, they say Franklin Graham's post is wrong, and we're pulling it. So they're trying to balance between a publisher like CNN and a platform, and they're reaping the legal benefits of a platform when in reality they're a publisher.
So you're saying it's like Verizon. You have your cell phone service through Verizon. You plan a crime on the phone. Nobody can go after Verizon.
No.
They're saying we're just the platform.
We were simply providing the service.
We were providing a service.
Yes.
That's actually
helpful. Now, if Verizon sets up monitoring senators to monitor Verizon customers' phone numbers and then pull the services of people they don't like, they then become a publisher.
Yeah.
And that's what Facebook has done.
That's helpful.
The only thing I'd add to this is that, yes, they apologize for Franklin Graham and Diamond and Silk, and when it's a public figure, they make a lot of mistakes. They tend to correct them. But I personally know dozens, which represent, I'm sure, thousands and thousands of minor anonymous people that have had their platforms taken away.
Yeah. It happens.
And there's no response. There's no apology.
Because they're not well known.
Because they're not well known.
Well, we've had that happen to us here over the years. Two or three times we've had, at least, we've had Facebook, put us in timeout or one of our shows or something like that. So it does happen. And what I do think Facebook could do a better job of explaining to their customers and to the world how it is they choose these, because the reasons that they banned Franklin Graham and banned Diamond and Silk, that's what we have a problem with. What they're citing as hate speech,
yes.
For example, let's talk about that. All right, go ahead.
I just say, to me, that's a dead end for Facebook. I think what Facebook has to do is they say, listen, you're allowed to post whatever you want as long as it is not illegal,
right?
And doesn't, advocate criminal conduct.
Exactly.
And everything else.
Violence against people.
Everything else. You don't like what someone posts, then don't be their
friend. We're not going to police all that.
We're not going to police it because we can't.
Let me see if we have this end a little bit lightheartedly. This is Campus Reform, and they sent one of their reporters to American University in Washington, D.C., and they gave students quotes, and they said these quotes are from President Trump on the border, and then they revealed a surprise. Listen to this.
First quote, we should spend money to build a barrier to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in. Another quote, we simply cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Quote, illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple, until the American...
The kicker is that they told these students afterwards that these quotes were actually from Schumer and Pelosi and Clinton and the students who said, oh, they're awful, terrible quotes.
I want you to save that for next
week.
Yeah,
let's play that in its entirety. We didn't do that justice, but I get the point.
Yeah, but I'd like to hear that in
its entirety. We'll bring it back. A little tease for you there for next
week. All right.
And there's a broader point that needs to be made with that. That's a good topic to bring up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. We're going to be back tomorrow with Trivia Friday, right, Ed?
Absolutely. Learning University.
Learning University will be on the air tomorrow at 10:05 Central Time. We'll see you back here then. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to American Family Radio.